Very thankful to be here, and I thank the Lord for the good day that He gave me. I feel like this message is a message that I would describe it as a Lord help me message. And every once in a while I get one like this that pertains to me a lot, and it's very simple. But it's very clear in my spirit, and so I say, Lord, help me. I'd like to start with scripture in John 15th chapter. First verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Right. Now, that seems to me like an important statement in this whole thing. A very important statement. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm supposing that as a generality that it is true that without God, no one can do anything. I think God is the force, the strength, and the power of our all human life. But I'm not sure that's what he was talking about exactly. I think there was more than that to this idea. I think he was specifically talking about, I don't think that you can do anything good. I don't think that you can accomplish 1 ounce of spiritual betterment. I don't think that you can rise above your self-will and self-ways without me. I don't think that you can accomplish a spiritual moment without me. The Lord has something more in mind there with that. And I think this is so important that it's mentioned that I noticed that in my mind, in my world, I may say, this scripture seems to tie a lot of other scriptures together for me. It seems like that this scripture makes a lot of sense of other ones, because without me, you can do nothing. So I was thinking about, in war, I've studied a lot of war, battles and war, and in war, there was a time where the British, and at a time in history to where it was almost a gentlemanly-like thing, right? And to where you marched out, and as gentlemen, you faced one another, kind of lined up and all. Well, that didn't go very well, and it didn't work real well, and it worked well as long as the other side was gentlemanly, and we'll see what happens. But historically, that doesn't work very well, because everybody's going to look for an advantage, and they started running into people that hid behind rocks. And they started doing it differently. And I'm going to tell you something, the devil's no gentleman about this, this battle that we're in. There's no gentleman about it at all. And one of the things that was always necessary in war, that they always tried to do, was to cut the lines of communication. That was one of the most important places. Do you know many battles was won against a superior force, by a lot, superior force, that lost the battle because they lost their communications. They lost their ammunition and all that comes from a certain point. The enemy knows that they're only as strong as the things they fight with, and they're only as strong as long as there can be a communication. And so many, many battles. I remember this because it was December 7th, 1941. Well, that was the day of Pearl Harbor, but Pearl Harbor overshadowed another world event. And that was when the Soviet Union, Russia, was a huge counterattack against the Germans. It started on the same day, and they did a big pincer. And the reason for the pincer was they encircled, I believe if I'm not mistaken, they ended up encircling about a million man army. You think a million men could do. But what they did, they encircled them, cut off their line of munitions. They cut off the line of communications, and now there's a million men out there thinking by themselves. They don't have no unity with nothing. They don't know when to fire and when to retreat. They don't know it because they got. Now you thinking about this? Wouldn't you suppose that the devil might consider that if someone's hooked to the Lord, they might be hard to beat face to face? I mean, he can come and he will. He'll come against you and try everything. But the devil might be smart enough to say, I can't beat them as long as they're hooked in good. So what I need to do is get them distracted. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about this, about getting distracted, about what our real point is. I mean, we can do a lot of things, but sometimes we just get distracted by the things in life. And I'll tell you what, it looks to me like there's a lot of things to distract you in life. It seems like there's so much going on all the time with this and with that and in the political world and the wars in the world and the economy and the next thing and this thing and all of these things to distract us. None of those things lie within my capability to do anything. And I can get distracted from what the real power of my life is. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. So if the devil can come in and distract us from our purpose of serving God, of our purpose of our devotion to God, our number one intent is to serve God with our full heart and to keep that alive and real and keep a contact with the Lord, the devil knows where to pinpoint the battle at. If he can't separate that union, he loses the battle of our lives. I'm going to tell you, here is the point of attack. No matter what it looks like out there, the point of attack is to separate us from our confidence in God. That's what he's going to try to do. And like I said, I think of many, many times in battles that this actually happened. And it happened in the battle that I mentioned. They actually encircled these and was able to defeat this great army because they couldn't get their munitions through. They didn't have their communications. They was cut off from these things. But other times in history, they did the same thing. And they cut off and that's what a siege is about. They siege it around and they can't get nothing in it. And so I want to think about this a little bit. I heard something the other day. It was a public service announcement. And the idea was, they started off by saying, you know, you can be, you're out in the ocean, you're out there playing in the ocean, you know, people fear sharks. Well, I'm not a very good swimmer anyway. And so the idea of some big fish out there after me, I mean, that's pretty horrifying. I mean, think about it. That's pretty terrifying to think of a shark. He wouldn't have to be very big laid into you. He can do some damage on you. And he's saying that's a fearful thing. People are afraid of that. But if you look at statistic-wise, there's really not very many shark bites. And then they said people are afraid of bears. You ever been around a bear? I remember one time being off, and I got out of my car. It was way in the woods, way back. And I got out and was walking down this road, and I looked and I seen a bear. And I thought, how neat, how interesting. That was fun. Look, I thought, there's a bear. And you're this black bear come down this road. Didn't know I was there. And I thought, I wonder how close that bear is going to get to me before he notices me. And while I'm waiting, see what this bear. And he comes on down the road and on come down the road. And you know, just in a little bit, I'm thinking how fun this. Hey, here comes this bear. Then something kind of hit me, and it was kind of like, how far am I from the vehicle? And what's his intentions? You know, and as he got closer, and you know, I like to say that sometimes I tell my buddies, I'm fearless down to my toes. Well, my fear was getting a little weak. I mean, my fearlessness was getting a little weak at the moment because here this bear was coming. And I got to thinking, well, I haven't heard of any bear attacks. But I don't know what this guy's got in mind coming down through there. And so in a little bit, I started jumping up and down and hollering. See what because I thought I could make it to the vehicle. Well, they were saying, automatically, you would fear a bear. But there's not very many bear attacks, really. But you know what you ought to be afraid of? Like I said, it was a public service announcement. Distracted driving. Do you know that's dangerous? I mean, really dangerous. I've been distracted before driving. That's dangerous. I tell myself on trips, don't be distracted. You're going at high speeds. You got your family in here. Don't be distracted. And they warned about being distracted while you're driving, and you can miss. I mean, of course you'd be afraid of a shark and a bear, but that's not what's likely to get you. What likely to get you is if you start driving with and being distracted. That is way worse than the things. And you fear these things, but you don't fear this until you'll do this so easily. You will let it happen so easily. I was coming down just my little road from my cabin the other day in my truck, and I've come down through there sometimes a dozen times a day. I'm up and down that road and know it well. But I come down there the other day, and oh, it happened to be one of those lousy deer I'm interested in. And I was driving down the road, and I was looking like that, and all of a sudden, I almost went over the hill because I got distracted at something. Something got my attention other than what I was doing. You don't think the devil knows where the point of attack is for our lives? The devil knows that he can't do anything when we're hooked to the Lord, and we got the Lord, and we can face. I think Apostle Paul said that through Christ, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can face this next battle. I can face the fall of our economy. I can face the legions that come against me. I can face the devil, the spirits. I can face bad mouthing. I can face the weakness of the body and the pain that I can do all of that through Christ that strengthens me when I'm hooked to the Lord. When I got the grace of God, I can speak the right things when somebody says something wrong to me. By the grace of God, I can be up when I normally be down. By the grace of God, I can do these things, and I can defeat the devil when he comes. And by the grace of God, I can say, get thee behind me, Satan. By the grace of God, I can go through those things and be victorious. So where is the attack? Right here. Got to distract them. I've got to distract them from their purpose. And all of a sudden, there's this emotion. I tell you where, folks, I'll just be honest. This is where it usually comes. It usually comes from an indifference in us about the Lord's things. It becomes in a lack, a slacking off of the worth of prayer and the need of prayer and contacting God, and everything's going well. And I don't need to do it as much. And it comes in a lack of absorbing the Word and paying attention and going to service and staying there and being hooked to the Lord and doing the things. And when that starts becoming more of a weakness than these things, and there's a distraction about things. So I warn us today about being distracted from this. We're not going to lose unless we get distracted. We're going to have power if we stay hooked with the Lord. But I'll tell you, the devil's got some distractions out there. And sometimes we don't even realize what's going on. And that family member comes and there's a conflict there. And we get involved in these things and we get in there and grind. And the Lord's speaking, come away from there. Come away from that in your mind. I can take care of that. I'm God. I'll take care of that. Just commit that to me. Stay hooked to me. Look through that problem through me. Looked at that problem through me, what you're going through. Stay up to me. Don't get distracted off of that, because you're going to get feelings. You're going to get feelings about it. And then the old devil's going to say, I'm attacking right at the right place. I got them drawn away. Completely drawn away. See, that's another thing of battles and stuff, and it happened to many great armies. They got too far from the source. It happened to the Germans in World War II at the battle, as I said. Their supply lines ended up being too far. It was their supply lines ended up being a couple thousand miles long through the whole interior of Russia towards Moscow. It was too much to deliver much at a time. They got too far from it, and they couldn't get enough. And they got so far off that they could become weak. They didn't have the right stuff. They couldn't get it to them. And they was too far from it. We need to stay close to it. For without me, he said, you can do nothing. So where should I focus the most of my attention at? I'm going to suppose that scripture is more meaningful than you can ever know. It's got a lot of value to it. For without me, he said, if he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. In this place there's much fruit. In this place, all of the things that the devil brings for distractions, which he will, becomes fruit. He changes that into fruit. That's nothing more than fertilizer for the plant. That's nothing more than giving a blood. He'll turn that thing. When we give it to God and have God in there, he brings that trial and he makes fruit out of it. For somebody's going to look, and there's going to be a faithful, godly man that still loves when they're hated, and they're going to do right, and they're going to produce fruit right there in that thing if they're hooked to the Lord. That's why the devil is desperate to distract us. Many, many highway accidents and deaths out there today is because... ta-da. Distraction number one. This is a distraction in more ways than just from driving. It can be consuming. You can completely be distracted from what's important and what matters. I find sometimes, being human, that I can distract pretty easy. And I'm thankful that the Lord is always there to say a word, like, or a couple words, like, Marty, you're distracted. Rise above that. I don't want you doing that. Rise above that. The Lord has spoken to me many times and said, I think the Lord kind of speaks to you in your own language. And he spoke to me and said, would you grow up? Would you grow up? You're getting all bent out of shape over that. I mean, I hung on a cross. I mean, grow up. Grow up. Don't be distracted by the things there. These things are going to come. And you know, when we're hooked to the Lord and we don't get distracted, we find purposes that we never see in these things. We find the purpose of it. this happens and it looks like it's arbitrary or it's... No, it's not. That's a fruit-building thing. That's a place that the Lord wants to make something there in our lives. So there's a couple other scriptures I want to look at. They're familiar to us. So in the 14th chapter of Matthew, I suppose this scripture's used quite often in these kind of messages. 22nd verse of the 14th chapter of Matthew. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus, and he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Well, the reason he doubted was already mentioned in there. We know why he doubted, and it's used a lot in these kind of messages. He looked with confidence of the Lord that he knew, and the Jesus, and it was something special, and he wanted to experience that something special, and he wanted to bear fruit for the Lord. He wanted to bear fruit for the Lord. "Lord, bid me come. Can I follow you anywhere you go? Can I follow the Lord on the sea? Can I follow the Lord to the mountains? Can I follow the Lord?" And the Lord said to him, "You want to follow me? You want to walk where I walk? Come. I'll let you walk where I walk. When you walk with the Lord, you got to walk by faith. And you got to be hooked to the Lord. I mean hooked to the Lord. You can walk on the water of the symbols that it means. The sea and the boisterous sea and all those kind of things, the troubles of life and all of that, yes, we can walk on it too." Until we look around at how it runs. Until we start taking on the very essence of what it's doing and all of that. Peter didn't seem like he had any trouble with the first of it. "Bid me to come," and he did. And he was seeing the Lord, and the Lord said, "Come," which must have been powerful. He spake as no other man spake. He spake with authority. There was something powerful and inspiring about his word. I think just the word "come," Brother Ivan, was inspired by faith. And he come, and even with all of that, seeing the Lord standing there walking on the water, having him come, and the whole acceptance of it, and he done that, and it gave him the inspiration and power to be able to walk on the water. "Without me, you can do nothing." Where do you think the devil's going to attack you at? What else could make him sink? What else is going to make you crash on the highways? What else is going to divert you? Well, Peter got his eyes off of the Lord, and he noticed the power that was bigger than him. You know what I tell you right now? Run into it every day. I see the insufficiencies of myself. I see how incapable I am to even think the right thing, to do the right thing. Talk about desperation for the Lord to feel it. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. And he needed the Lord to walk on the water. See, Peter also thought that he was strong enough in Peter that he was not going to deny the Lord, and told the Lord that. He was self-confident. You know, they have these things out there about self-confidence, self-promotion things. That's only good for so while. I think there's something valuable about being confident. But that only goes as humans go, I'll tell you that. Peter had an idea of himself. And he gets off of this ship by the inspiration of the Lord. And when he saw that, he withered. He was doing really good when he was in the camp meeting seat. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord was hanging on that cross and everybody was around, was evil against him and was looking at him, his courage failed, folks. His courage failed. Did it always fail? Did Peter go out of here a failure? Did he deny the Lord all of his life? He faced things worse than that night and had victory because he learned the lesson of getting hooked to the Lord and staying hooked to the Lord and saying, I mean this to death. I am going through whatever it takes. I am with the Lord Jesus. And you can take my body, as the scripture says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. This is the essence of this. I have more love and admiration for the Lord that you can't tear down. I am going to stay hooked to the Lord. And you might, if you take this body, that's all you get. And you only get it once. And you set me free forever and do me a favor. You know, that's powerful. I want to die that way, do you? Yes. I mean, I accept the idea that death is a part of this thing and that we'll face that and all. I want to be able to do it with victory. Amen. I've seen the saints die. I like the way they did it. And so I want the Lord to help me to be able to go through there too, because the devil's going to try to distract you until your eyes close. There's always a distraction. Because he knows, the devil knows that there's a victory all the way through this. And when I look at the Lord and I keep my eyes on the Lord, that I can walk, I can do the impossibles. I can walk on water. It is impossible to do it, but I can do it when I have the Lord. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. You can't obtain those things. And for those that look on, that needs a hope in life and what's this all about, there's where the much fruit comes in, because they can look at something and say, I want to be like that. How do they obtain those things? And does any of us want to rise up and say, because I'm something? No, we say, as Peter said, you look on us, that's by our own holiness and righteousness that we did this thing. I'm telling you, it's by the very Jesus you crucified. It ain't me that does this. It's the Lord that does it. And it's the much fruit that comes out of my life because I'm connected to him. And you know what the great thing is? Everybody can be connected. Everybody. You can be connected. But there's one point that seems so obviously clear to my mind that whether or not I'm hooked is up to me. I can't perform it without being hooked, so I can't claim it. But being hooked is up to me. I have a part in it. And whether I wake up tomorrow morning and seek the Lord or not is up to me. Yes, the Lord may inspire me in the night and he might give me a song and I might be real inspired. But I'm going to tell you, ultimately, it's up to me whether I bend my legs tomorrow and get down and pray. It'll be up to me whether I say I'm going to go to service if I feel like it or if I don't. It's up to me to make those kind of vows and commitments to the Lord to stay hooked, because without him, what can we do? The devil knows it, folks.
That's right.
And right there is going to be the point of his attack in your life. And he's going to do it with every element that appeals to you in your flesh. Everything that he can touch you with to distract you from that purpose, that's exactly what he's going to do. There's another scripture in John, again, John, I think 21. Oh, let me see. Twentieth verse of the 21st chapter of St. John. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now I'm impressed with that in Jesus' language, because I can't imagine a better and more polite way to tell someone to mind their own business. That's not the way we did it when I was growing up. But I digress. The Lord was basically telling him, Peter, that's going to be a major distraction to you in your life. My grandpa, Clevenger, was known to have quite a snoz on him. He had a big nose. And I remember us growing up, he used to say, you know how this got so big? Especially if we needed told this. You know how this got so big? I kept it out of other people's business. This is going to get you in trouble. To look around, we have a duty, a responsibility of love and care for our fellow man, and to pray for them and help them. And we have a duty to our own soul not to be distracted. That we don't need to be distracted by what somebody else is doing. Well, Lord, what are you going to do with Brother Rod? What are you going to do with that guy? What's this about? Follow me. I got him. I got him. You follow me. And if you feel anything else, you pray for him. But you follow me, because that distraction, folks, do you know that's a major distraction? Do you know we can be distracted by hurts in our life that we wallow around in, and we think that that's major? That's major in my life. And if, unless I get this took, that's major in my life. No, that's not major in your life. Being hooked to the Lord is major in your life. That's what's major in your life, because if you're hooked to the Lord, don't be distracted and let that draw you away from the love of God. Don't let that bring bitterness into your life. Don't let that pull you away from the confidence in the Lord. Amen. Be hooked to the Lord. I'm going to say what Brother Salmon said. Brother Salmon said one time, he said, this is something he learned. He said, I've seen this so many times. Right when, he's talking about the saints. He said, right when they should run hard to the Lord, they run away. He saw it, and he saw this. Okay, something happened in your life and you got hurt. Where are you going to go? Go get stronger in the Lord. Go to the Lord. Hook in harder. Hook in tighter so that the Lord can bring a conclusion to that matter in your own heart. Because without me, I know my weaknesses, folks. And I say, when that scripture, without me you can do nothing, is a reality. So here he does it again. Peter was mindful of all these things, and all of a sudden, you know how the disciples was at that time, right? They were, make me the best, and where am I going, and striving in there. And I don't say they didn't get along, I'm saying, but they had that carnality working always in them, and devil knows right where to get them. There was a passage in John, I think the 6th chapter, where some of his disciples come, and Jesus said to these disciples that unless you drink my blood and eat of my flesh, and they was offended. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Jesus ends up, they got distracted. They got distracted instead of humbling themselves and getting in. And that was actually a beautiful statement. I'm glad he said that. thank God that we can partake of the blood of the body. I mean, thank God. He was telling them something worthwhile. This hard saying. And from that time, it said many of his disciples walked no more with him. They got distracted by what the Lord said. But what the Lord said? Lord, give me a heart to embrace. Give me a heart to want your word.
Yes.
You remember when the woman came to the Lord for help and she said, the Lord said to her, should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? Why, you, that's awful. Give me my safe space. I've been hurt. What did she do? She humbled herself. True, Lord. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs. You let me connect. Give me grace. Give me grace to be able to take a slight like that, or a seemingly slight like that. Because that's, we get distracted other than that. Do you know that our purpose, part of our purpose is to represent Christ? We're to be representatives of Christ. That people look on in those kind of things. And I'll be honest with you, and I wouldn't dare to try to say that it ain't been in my life too. But it's amazing what Christianity can lower itself to. Honestly, that's important. That's more important. I had some trouble at home with my neighbor's dogs. Want to eat my chickens all the time. If you want me to get down to just the natural part of me, I think I have every bit as much right to have a chicken as he does a dog. And I like my chicken just as much as he liked his dog. But I wasn't going to be distracted from the purpose of my life to make an issue with my neighbor over dead chickens. I won't have chickens, Brother Ed, if I can't have peace with my neighbor. And you say, well, you're being run over, you're being this. I'm not getting distracted. I want to be able, and I can. I can go over and talk to my neighbor and we can have a very enjoyable time because I didn't do that. Because I didn't want to be distracted. And I've said many times, he's more important. His wife, his children, they are more important to me than chickens. His soul is more important than chickens. My relationship in the community and with God is more important than chickens. And God knows all of those things. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't let that go without me. But with me, you can do all things. Don't be distracted. The unforgiveness that we can hold on to. Lord, help us. Unforgiveness? Do we have a right to have any unforgiveness? Was you forgiven? The great sins against God. Not a sin against me, that's minor. But when you sin against God, that's major. Do I have a right to say I got something I won't forgive? Lord, help us. What is that to thee? You know, I think there could be a lot of questions that go down that. But I noticed something in the scriptures. Jesus, as he went through his ministry, was always dealing with the people's distractions and drawing them back to the right purposes. So there's these sisters in the Bible called Mary and Martha. And Martha got distracted. Didn't she? Didn't she get distracted? Where's the devil? What's the devil want for Mary and Martha? Conflict? Bitterness? Unforgiveness? Right? So Martha brings this distraction to the Lord. His answer was Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Go talk to my sister. No, not talking to your sister. I'm not even going to tell her about this conversation. She don't need to know. This is Martha, this is my conversation to you. Martha, Martha. You're just cumbered about too much stuff. You're distracted from the purpose. That's almost literally what that was talking about if you look at it. You're distracted from my real purpose. Get a little, one thing, that's enough. Don't be so distracted. I didn't come here to this earth always to feed your body. I come here for something else, and you're distracted from that purpose. I want you to get it. Because when you're hooked to me, without me you can do nothing, Martha. You're not going to be able to make it through without me. I think of another scripture where a man came to the Lord and said to him, "Would you talk to my brother about the inheritance?" Again, Jesus was so diplomatic. Because I'd have said no. But he said to him, you know, he loved this fella. And he told him what was inside him. Now, regardless, see, this is the truth. We always justify the distraction. But this is true. But he did take but it's true. And Jesus said, you're distracted. You're distracted. Beware of covetousness. Oh, I looked down in there and saw something, didn't he? You're allowing this to distract you from the purpose that I have for you. I'm going to ask you something. Do you think the devil knows where to pinpoint his attacks at? Don't you think he's of the enemy? He's quite a general. He knows where to sever. He knows how to get power over us. I'll tell you something else. When you're hooked to the Lord and run with the Lord, he'll give you the power to say, "Get thee behind me." There's a reason. The Bible says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, there's no power to resist the devil if you're hooked. There's no power if you're not hooked, folks. This resisting the devil because you think something don't work. Submit yourself to God. Get hooked with God. Then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, no matter what he does, you can do it. God is powerful and he's mighty. I got hearing aids, and I went to a hearing aid thing one time, and they was describing the hearing process. They did it well, and they was telling me about hearing. And one thing that I picked up about it, they said, you don't hear with your ears. You hear with your brain. Your ears is just what receives it. You hear with your brain. And I said, boy, is that true. I mean, you'd be talking right at somebody that's got perfect hearing. Now, I'm not talking about they don't understand you. I'm talking about unless you listen, you don't hear. There can be all kinds of people talking, and if you ain't listening, you don't hear nothing. They say you listen with your brain. In other words, your brain has to learn to focus to it. And after you lose enough hearing, your brain doesn't do that. In certain sounds. That's what they was trying to tell me. You listen with your brain. And you got to readjust some of this so that you start hearing these things. You hear with your brain. And you know what? After a while, and time again, of being distracted away, you just ain't listening. Just don't listen anymore. We can be distracted by the things in this life. You know what's wrong with the world? Why the world is such a danger to us? It distracts us. It takes away from us when we give it attention. We give it attention and we start being distracted, and all of a sudden there's not power in our lives to stand where we should stand. And do you know, many times, most of the time, I'd say almost always, there comes a point till somebody gets in trouble and they say, "How did that happen? How did I get to a place like that? How did that happen?" It happened way back. There was a time, I remember hearing a guy, he got in a lot of trouble, and he had been a faithful person, and he got in trouble, and after a while he went to his pastor, and he told his pastor, he said, "I," and he laid it out. And he said, this is my, what I have done. This is my great sin. And the pastor said, that ain't your great sin. Your great sin was back there where you started, leaving the Lord. Back there is where you got, when you started getting distracted from the real purposes, that was your great sin, because it was inevitable from that point to end up where you're at. You just ended up on the road that you took back there. When you decided that you wasn't going to pray anymore, when you wasn't going to do the things you should do, when you did that, you went on the path that led you to the great sin that you're talking about, but that's the real great sin, to leave the Lord. I just want to bring this little message and pray that the Lord would bless it. I feel like that there is an obvious place there that the devil wants to attack our lives, and he wants to distract us by the things that happen and we get distracted in all of that, and we don't have the power that we should have. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.